I pay homage to the Gautama who, out of his compassion, taught the holy Dharma to rid us of all distorted views. So the 100 volumes of the Gangur and then the 220-something volumes of Dengur. So if we just put it up on the altar, we'll just have to say, oh, these are the Buddhist texts, scriptures. But if you look at the content of these volumes, what this shows is how to transform this mind that we have now as an ordinary person, transforming and culminating into the mind of a Buddha, the omniscient state. So if you think about this, then the negative emotions are in the mind. And also the means to overcome this is the mind itself. And therefore, to attain Buddhahood, we have to use this mind. Buddhahood has to be must be obtained on the basis of this mind. So there's no other way the Buddhas can help except through giving these teachings. And so in psychology, what we learn is what are the negative thoughts and emotions that we have to overcome, and how they cause us trouble, and what are the means to counter these negative emotions. And so, in Buddhist literature, we have very extensive explanation of mind and psychology. So, from the Kanjur and Tenjur, we have the very broad and extensive practice. Explanation of psychology, and therefore to extract them separately and drawing them from the Kanjur and Tenjur, and we would be able to help the 7 billion people on this earth. Just saying that talking about compassion will not help. We need to know what the nature, the identity, and what are the benefits and what are the disadvantages of going against the opposites of these and so forth. And so if we could introduce psychology in the modern education system, beginning with the kindergarten up to university level, so it would be really beneficial. And so one of the, in America, there are many scientists, so some magazines actually picked up one renowned scientist, like Richie, I think it's not, his honor is mentioned, Richie Davidson. And so he was one of the men of the year in the So I, although do not know much, but I actually explained to these scientists about our mind and mental. And so I have suggested to draw material from the Kanjur and Tenjur about the psychology and also philosophy. So, with regard to philosophy, in Chittamatra philosophy, what is asserted is that there's nothing externally existing. As Vasubandhu gives this analysis where he imagines a particle in the center surrounded by 6 other particles around it, and saying that if they are partless, then there's no accumulation of the particles and become bigger. And so there's rejection of externality. And so the science part of the Kanjur and Tenjur is already was released before in 2 volumes. And then today I'm releasing the kind of a condensed volume of these two volumes. So this is the philosophy volume on Buddhist philosophy. So this is the two volume on Buddhist on philosophy. So this is the condensed volume of the first two volumes. So because in the condensed volume it said volume one, he's only said thought there was a second volume of also. So these are the geishas who have worked on the book, on this. So these are the geishas who actually read through the Kanjur and Tenjur until their eyes got sore. Or until their eyes itched. So he's always thanking each of these geshelas. There are basically four or five geshes, and this monk is from Namgyel Monastery, helping with the compilation of the book. So these books have been translated, roughly translated in English. And also in Chinese, much of the books are also translated. And then in Hindi also. Where is Ngawa Sandela? Is the Hindi translation complete? Where have you come? How far have you done? So he's too short, I can't even see him, his Holiness says. And then in Mongolian and also German, similarly in Italian and Japanese. So we have translators for these languages as well. So I hope that these books will be of quite a help to people. So we are not teaching Dharma, to religion as such, but about psychology and also philosophy, which can be actually studied by anybody. And also we use logic. We have topics of the objects of knowledge, which are to be perceived, and then the perceptions, the knowledge or cognition, which perceives them, and then for that purpose, we have also topics on tellure or reductio ad absurdum kind of logic. To overcome the doubts, and then logic, perform a logic for gaining, giving conviction. And so I would like to thank everyone who have worked for many months, and also these mainly these four or five geishas who have worked very hard on these volumes. And then Darya Rinpoche, led by Darya Rinpoche, the Darya people have made this Tenshuk offering earlier. I would like to thank you all also. And in Rinpoche's presentation of this booklet, he has written quite well, and you have actually sprayed some tzampa on me, sprinkled some tzampa on me, which means you have praised me. I would like to thank you all. And with regard to Thögyal issue, Rinpoche has actually made things clear in this booklet. And whether in exile or inside Tibet, you have to be impartial and to not just stubbornly hold on to some tradition or claim. So I hope that I think that what Rinpoche has said could be of some help. And Rinpoche has also said that when all Tibetans are able to go back to Tibet, gather back in Tibet again for me to come to Dagyab, perhaps that will happen also. And some of you elder monks may remember, if you... Do you remember that what I said at that time, in those days, that if you don't leave the practice of Thögyal, I will come to Sherdze Monastery, and if you don't, then I will never step into the premise of Sherdze Monastery. So, His Holiness, likewise, though you are asking me to come to Dagyab, why should I go to a place where my life is in danger, threatened? So even the Indian government and also the American government also give me this security because of this threat from the. So of course, I would have to go, but if people have no trust and do not keep the spiritual bond with me, why should I go there? So I just wanted to say this to the Darya people. And so in Chamdo also, there is a very strong practice of the Thögyal. So it would never occur for me to go to Chamdo, but when all Tibetans gather inside Tibet, when so while you invite me to come to you, but you do not listen to me, how could I come? And so with regard to Tsejang Rinpoche reincarnation, I have also told him, Anir, when recently he had visited Mongolia and actually had said that I am the reincarnation of the His Holiness the Dalai Lama, this teacher, Dalai Lama's teacher, and so he has to take my name as well. So on the one hand, Thögyal people also say that I am a false Dalai Lama. And in America, they protest against me, and I only feel compassion for them, and I don't really mind their negative words. And so I usually visit many different religious places and shrines and temples and mosques and so forth. So in America, they had put up... with due respect, of course, And I respect all these religious traditions and visit their temples and so forth. And so they have shown, put up a picture of me with a Muslim hat, wearing a Muslim hat, and saying that I am Muslim and not a Buddhist. And so, on the one hand, the people are saying that I am a false Dalai Lama, but on the other hand, Tijan Rinpoche is claiming that he is the reincarnation of the tutor to His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And so, this is being dubious, and cunning. And so, of course, whether you want to propitiate Dogyal or not is up to you. But with regard to Dogyal himself, he is someone who has actually broken the Samaya with the fifth Dalai Lama and also this Chijing Awang Chaldin and the other masters. And then Taryapas, and also people from Taryap, and also maybe there are Chamdo people from here. I hope you have heard me. If you think that what I say has no reason at all, then you can argue against me, debate or argue against me, and criticize me. So if you want to criticize and argue against me, you have to argue against the 400 years history, which is now compiled very clearly documented in a book of on Dogyal issue printed by the Geluk Association. So you would have to argue against that as well. So if you have the text, look at page 201, just at the bottom of the page. Further petitions which follow the oral instructions made in order to be sure your mind stream sufficiently be... This has... Sorry. I have already said that in the best method for developing realizations in one's mind stream is to petition one's guru while regarding him as inseparable from one's tutelary deity. I shall develop the experience and realizations in our mind stream on the... on the strength of the blessings we receive and the blessings of the victorious ones and their children would be absorbed into the mainstream as a result of petition. This petition was worded in many different ways by the following passages, the most blessed one. Of all, they say it is pity not to use this version in one's solicitations. So my glorious root guru, take your place on the lotus wing and so forth. So the part of the beginning, our teacher, the Bhagwan, the peerless savior, refers to lineage extensive deeds. And extensive deeds, Sakyamuni, peerless exponent, superior savior, refers to the lineage of profound view. Both have petitions to our teachers who initiated both lineages. One passage also refers to the profound path to his magnificent omniscience. Peerless exponent is a way of praising Siddhartha, who taught the doctrine of interdependent origination. When you have to consult an official about a very important matter, you need a well-connected person to act as your advocate. So a duplicate split splits from the figure of your root guru in front of you. The way he appears as you normally see him. This duplicate takes its place on the crown of your head. Imagine that he pleads with the victorious ones, their children, on your behalf when you recite the first repetition of the lines, last line of the verse. May glorious root guru, the siddhis of the speech and mind, the duplicate transfers into the crown, to the crown of your head, and petitions and petitions the merit filled along with you. Purify nectars descending, purifying nectars descending during the second petition, and another replicate of the guru dissolves into you. Actually, in the preparatory rites of Manjushri's own words, one does not traditionally recite the fourth line of these verses twice, but in the preparatory rites for the swift path and easy one does. As you recite the last line of the verse, may glorious root guru for the first time imagine you are purified of all hindrances to your developing the stages of both extensive and profound paths of the path in your mind stream. When first reciting the opening lines of the verses for the extensive deeds lineage, imagine you are purified of hindrances to your developing the stages of extensive path of the path in your mind stream. For the profound view lineage section, imagine the same thing happening for the profound paths of the path. When you recite these lines for the second time, imagine the duplicates of this particular gurus mentioned that dissolve into you, and you develop realizations into the profound and extensive paths. Then come the gurus of the Kadam Lamrim lineage, so Gambawa and so forth. Note that these lineage gurus are put after the gurus of the extensive deeds. This might lead one to wonder, do they then belong to the extensive deed lineage? No, they do not, even though these gurus came after that lineage. And Geshe-poto were the victorious regent, so forth. Note that this last verse is a petition for Chögyam Zangbo, the abbot of Jagor. The lineage prayer continues, Tsutimbar, and so forth. These lineages are set out, seem jumbled, but this is not so. This recitation fits in with the following oral instruction of the extensive, after the extensive deeds and the profound view lineages came down to Adisha. He combined the lineage streams together. Thus, Adisha passed on the profound view lineage to his foremost disciple, Domtempa. The later Kadambas are not included. Then, going from the oldest to the youngest of the Kadamba lineage, to Gompawa's Kadam Lamrim lineage tradition is the first. This lineage came down to Namgyal Gelsen. Next, the classical tradition extends from Kutawa to Chögyal Sangpo. The instruction tradition extends from Jengawa to Dimbar to Namgyal Gelsen. At this point, the streams of three lineages commingle into a single line. So one then begins only the one petition to Jerembuche and his mantra and to receive a very special blessings. In the merit field visualizing with Maitreya and Manjushri are surrounded by either the gurus of the extensive data profound or profound view lineages. And both lineages end with Adisha and Domtempa. Visualize the Kadam Lamram lineage directly in front of both extensive and profound view lineage. This group consists of Gampawa, surrounded by Nusurba and seven others. They form a sort of teaching group in front of both the profound view and extensive deeds. The classical tradition, Geshe Potowa, surrounded by the nine gurus of the lineage, are either to the left or right of Lamrim tradition. Visualize Jangawa, surrounded by seven gurus of the instruction tradition, to the other side of the Lamrim tradition group. Jerembuche sits in front of these three groups. The gurus of the Neokadampas are in row, rows on either side of him. And then in Lamrim Chemo, Gom, the term for meditation, means that this mind, which is overcome with negative emotions, because it is the condition that we are in, what we need to do is we need to direct our minds towards those counterforces which can actually quell these negative emotions. And therefore, in the Abhisamaya Alamkara, we come across these two words, gom and kom. And so what gom or meditation refers to is, this term for meditation refers to is familiarizing your mind with some practice or object once with which once you become acquainted and familiar, then you can actually do the thing. For example, in the case of some skills that you learn, you need practice and training, and then once you are trained, then you will be able to do the thing called without any much effort. And so when you are able to direct your mind spontaneously through this training and familiarization, that is the purpose of doing meditation. And then in the within the meditation, we have the meditation where the mind actually becomes takes on the form or the image of the object. For example, the impermanence or selflessness. But what you need to do is, of course, our mind, of course, is selfless, impermanent, and therefore we need to understand selflessness, knowing that the object which this grasping as some self and existence does not exist. The object does not exist, and therefore you meditate on that lack of the self and familiarize your mind with that object. And then there are other meditations where your mind actually is imbued with that meditation itself, like compassion and so forth. So while you repeat, this meditation is quite short, but each verse is like a distillation of each of the guru's life story. If you memorize these verses, when you recall these gurus, you will be rejoicing in their deeds and will develop this desire to study. While you repeat the last line of these verses the second time, while you recite the other lines containing the individual brief biographies, feel that you are receiving the same qualities as they did from the transmitted and realized teachings. Traditionally, one adds the one further verse at the end, Glorious Lama, in your biography and so forth. Then, if you are going to perform separate review meditation on the Lamrim, you should recite Jerembuche's basis for all good qualities as a meditation. If you are going to do a Sabbath review meditation, you need to recite it. It is also sufficient to dissolve the merit field visualization. The process of dissolution is as follows. Visualize that light ray stream from froth from the Guru Vajradhara's heart and illuminate the figures. Then, rather than like the evaporation of condensation on a mirror, the lower figures in the matter fields, that is the four Maharajas and so forth, withdraw progressively into the higher figures. This happens as far as the deity is standing on the four petals of the topmost lotus. These four deities withdraw into Vajradhara figure at the Buddha Shakyamuni's heart, the profound view lineage. Gurus withdraw into Guru Manjushri, the extensive lineage, into Guru Maitreya, the consecrated practices lineage, consecrated practice lineage, into Guru Vajradhara, and your personal gurus from whom you receive teachings withdraw into the figure of your root guru in his everyday form, the one in which you normally see him. Think to yourself while maintaining the clarity of your visualization, how fortunate I am to have actually seen these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, Maitreya and Manjushri, then dissolve into light, which dissolve into the main figure, Vajradhara dissolve into the main figure as a wisdom being. The figure of your guru, root guru in his normal aspect, should not, however, dissolve into light. This would be an auspicious gesture. So whether he is still alive or not, he dissolves into the Vajradhara at the main figure's heart, as it would push a grain of barley into a, as one would push a grain of barley into a pat of butter. The wish-granting tree with the lion throne dissolves into the lotus base of the main figure. The main figure itself then dissolves into the. So we'll stop here. Mm-hmm.